Chapter 8. Night Haunter. Gunn placed a fifth orb into the maintenance airlock. Rusty and battered like the rest of the hall's machinery, the airlock was large enough to admit one man in void gear at a tight squeeze. A pane of armor glass, made misty by centuries of micrometeor impacts, smeared the light of the stars. Elva had a desire to push past Gunn and cast himself into the peace outside. That way he was guaranteed a clean death, on his own terms. It remained a fantasy. He did not move. While his heart beat, he could not voluntarily end himself. Whether this made him brave or a coward was open to question. In the shabby closet of the airlock, Gunn's devices looked like something rescued from a higher age. Sleek black orbs, bisected with a single silver trench running around the diameter. Each was no bigger than a child's clenched fist. Gunn undid the sixth pouch at his waist. The entire front and top undid, coming down to reveal a final orb nestled in protective foam. "Psi beacons," he said, taking out the orb. With a sharp twist, he rotated the halves in opposite directions. Something within broke, and a sickening sensation emanated from it, intensifying that already coming from the others. He placed the orb with the rest, carefully maglocking it in place, so they were in two rows of three on the floor, and came back out of the airlock. A hidden tide pulsed from them, making Elva's head spin. He groaned and stepped back. Gunn looked at Elva in a way Elva would really rather he didn't. "Interesting," said Gunn. "Are you a psyker?" he asked. His hands rested meaningfully on the butts of his pistols.
"A witch," said Elva. "No, I'm not."
"You're lying. You are psi-touched, or else the orbs would have no effect on you." Gunn inclined his head back towards the chamber. Without taking his eyes from Elva, he depressed the door controls, and the airlock slammed shut hard, sending out an iron clang through the thunderous machinery. "The orbs contain, in isolated halves, the powdered essence of an astropath and that of a pariah. When the seal is broken, their ashes mingle, emitting a glow in the warp that burns for weeks. Easy to find, provided one is looking for them. My temple will follow it and send a mistress here to deal with the Emperor's wayward son. Their emanations are affecting you. What are you? A minor telekine? A pyrokine? Empath machina?" Somehow Gunn's pistols had found their way into his hands. "Small gifts of telepathy? Foresight?" Most of those words Elva had rarely heard, and they struck him with fear, for to bear such a designation was a mark of death. Despite the screening effect of the airlock door, Elva suffered the effects of the growing pulse thrumming from the orbs. His knees weakened. When he backed away from Gunn, he half sank to the floor. His legs would not support him. Drool sheeted from his mouth.
"I dream," he said.
"Everyone dreams," said Gunn.
"Yeah, but sometimes mine come true."
Elva looked up pleadingly.
"That's all, I swear."
He took another feeble step back. "How did you avoid the black ships?"
"I'm a Chartist. Voidborn. I never told anyone," he said. "And nobody ever asked."
The airlock cyclolumen clicked to green, ready for fans to huff out the air. Gunn moved his finger along to the next button, whose light was still red, and depressed it. A rough machine voice spoke from the wall.
"Warning! Airlock purge imminent. Depress button second time to confirm."
Gunn pressed the button again. The outer door opened with a muffled thump.
"Purge complete."
The nauseating sensation vanished as the lock contents spilled out into the void. Elva groaned. His secret was out.
"What will you do with me?"
Gunn raised his pistol. "I'm no witch hunter," he said. "That is not my role. And remember, I was going to kill you anyway. I'm curious, that is all. Curiosity has always been a fault of mine. Prepare to meet the Emperor." Elva held up his hands.
"Please, no, I don't want to die. Not here, not now, not ever."
"Everything dies," said Gunn. "Trust me. If he finds you, you'll wish you'd never been born." An inhuman howl sounded at the machine hall entrance, loud enough to penetrate the rattling of poorly maintained machinery, distracting Gunn. Alva took his chance. He threw himself from the edge of the companionway. His leap carried him dangerously close to a clattering array of pistons. Flailing, he grabbed the rail of another walkway, narrowly avoiding being sucked into the machines as he hauled himself up. The leap had seemed easy enough in principle, but he had never done anything like that before, and the effort wrenched his arms hard. A second bestial cry resounded around the chamber, turning at the end to a maniacal cackle. A black flash cracked into the housing of the engine next to Elva, punching a hole edged with hot cherry red through the metal. Elva yelped and ran around the sides, sprinting he knew not where, provided it was away from Gunn.
"He is here," Gunn called after Elva. "You will regret declining my offer once he finds you."
Elva thought he'd deal with that later. Something huge was coming up into the network of walkways and pipes, setting them all shaking. Elva slowed and stopped, gripped by a need to see the monster that had slaughtered his crew. Against every instinct screaming in his skull, he turned back. Conrad Kurz stood upon a wide platform suspended in the centre of the hall. The Primarch had added untanned manskins torn from Elva's crewmates to his tattered robe. Blood, some of it dried brown, some of it still crimson fresh, slicked his marble skin. Elva had thought Kurz awe-inspiring before. Now, seeing him out of stasis, Elva's mind struggled to comprehend what he was seeing. He was the ultimate expression of humanity, taken to the apex of perfection, then cruelly corrupted. His musculature was flawless, sculptured, beautiful. His posture was that of a crone. Gunn dropped down in front of him, landing silently. "Hello, Your Highness," he said.
"You wished yourself," Kurz said, with a voice like a basket of snakes. "My end is not ordained for today."
Gunn bowed. "You'll forgive me for trying, then," he said, and went into action. Kurz lunged at Gunn. His movements lacked fluidity, being a series of violent jerks that nevertheless granted him immense speed. He held his hands ahead of him like claws. They were the reddest part of him, washed with innocent's blood. When Gunn flipped out of the way and Kurz's hands hit metal, the Primarch's fingernails tore bright wounds through the rusty patina. Elva could not conceive of fighting such a thing, but Gunn tried. More than that, as Elva watched, he began to think the operative might conceivably win. He vaulted with smooth precision, using the pipes and beams of the hall as if he were in a gymnasium. He fired as he flipped. Streaks of silent black unlight speared from his twin pistols, strangely flat in appearance, as if painted on the skin of reality, rather than inhabiting the normal three dimensions. Kurz lunged and raked at Gunn with incredible speed, but the operative was so very fast and evaded every blow. A bolt from his gun speared the Primarch's shoulder, bringing forth a bone-chilling howl from Kurz's ruined mouth.
"You are not the one," said the monster. "You are not the one who will slay me. Now is not my time. The lesson is yet to be given."
"Why are the worst villains always the most talkative?" said Gunn, loosing off a four-burst shot from his weaponry.
"Oh, how irritatingly trite," said Kurz, evading Gunn's shots. "I was raised on a world of murderous poets. This tongue of yours is lacking in beauty, so emblematic of all touched by my father." Kurz leapt, a stretching shadow that moved a distance just within the bounds of possibility. Gunn struggled to dodge, weaving under Kurz's outstretched talons. He could not avoid the next strike. Their battle came to a crashing end. Kurz jabbed with his left hand, ramming his splayed fingers through Gunn's midriff. The polyplastic of the operative's bodysuit split like grapeskin, and black talons, preceded by a spray of arterial red, burst from his back. His stomach was utterly ruined. Only his spine held the two halves of his body together. Only Kurz's palm, cupped in Gunn's innards, held his guts in place. Kurz lifted Gunn up to his face. The operative's attempts to speak resulted in a wet gurgle and a cataract of dark blood pouring from his mouth. One of his pistols fell from a limp hand. The other he tried to raise and fire, but he managed to lift it only a short way before it too fell. "Vindication," said the Night Haunter. That will be the subject of my final words, but they will not be spoken, not yet, and not to you. I tell you for your comfort, and to emphasize, after all your long training and servitude to my father, there will be no vindication for you. Kurz turned his right hand, thumb down, wrapped his massive fingers around Gunn's left shoulder, and with a twisting shove, tore the operative in half. Gunn's legs dropped upon a rope of glistening intestine. The upper torso thumped down, head lolling. Gunn's final expression was one of unprofessional surprise. Kurz shook viscera from his hands and looked directly at Elva.
"You pathetic mortal," Kurz hissed. "You may come down here, and I will not slay you. Or you may run, so I can hunt you down, and you may experience a death of terrible prolonged agonies. Oh, I am weary of hunting. Unlike this assassin's slave, who would have killed you out of hand, I give you genuine choice."
Elva gaped at the blood-soaked wraith, dithered, then fled. He got no more than a few meters before the Primarch reared before him and swatted him down. His vision swam as Kurz leaned forwards, filling his world with a moon-pale face.
"Why do you mortals always run?" said Kurz.
A gust of rancid breath chased Elva into the black. It was the last Elva saw for a while. Elva awoke chained to Overton's command throne. The bridge was freezing, barely lit, the chilled metal of his restraints gnawing at his skin with blunt iron teeth. He shook uncontrollably. All parts of him were deathly cold, but for a hot, angry throbbing in his left hand. He looked at it, afraid of what he might see, and was justified in being so, finding filthy bandages wrapped around the place his two smallest fingers should be. Blood, his own blood, was frozen to the throne arm in brilliant red icicles. That was too much. Pressure built deep in his gut, erupting from his throat in a shrill scream that would do credit to a dying animal. For a whole minute he screamed, thrashing against the chains vainly, until, shaking and breathless, he calmed and forced himself to stop his racket.
"Breathe, Elva. Breathe. You're not dead yet," he whispered to himself.
He forced his attention from his bonds and the dreadful wound out past his feet. His eyes wouldn't focus until he bullied them into doing so. First things first, was he alone? It appeared he was, apart from the frozen, dismembered remains of some of the crew frost-glued to the bridge floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, the equipment, and...
"Don't look," he said. "Don't look."
He screwed his eyes tight and took deep breaths until his heart slowed to something approaching normal and his chest ceased to shudder. He checked himself over. The chains on his wrists were long enough to allow him to pat himself down. Other than his missing fingers, he seemed whole, and compared to the appalling injuries on the bodies in the bridge with him, he supposed he should be thankful. Once he discovered all his other parts were where they should be, he tried to free himself again, only in a more focused manner than before, tugging at the chains and pulling himself forwards as far as he could. He found no give in his restraints, so he closed his eyes again and muttered out something close to a prayer. They said the Emperor protects. Now would be a fine time to find out that was true.
"I hear some of the Emperor's cattle are worshipping my father as a god," said a hissing, growling voice behind the throne. "How magnificently hilarious."
Elva didn't want to look. His eyes disobeyed him, sliding around, pulling his head after them, then his shoulders, until he was craning his neck as far as he could. How he had not noticed the Primarch in there with him was beyond belief. He was so huge, possessed of such presence, and the smell coming off him. Worse than death. Worse than the ship's sumps and bilges. Elva's brain rebelled against the sight of Kurz, hunched in the dark, occupying far more space than even his inhuman bulk should fill. He was larger than the shadows, and as big as the night. All Elva's attempts to rally his spirits collapsed, and he cried out in terror.
Whimpering will help you as much as your half-formed prayers. I suggest you cease both, said the Primarch.
He came forwards, his shoulders scraping on the roof, his dirty hair swinging around the pale, pale face, from which shone eyes as black as coal.
Do not annoy me, and you might live.
Elva's head buzzed. Blackness nibbled at the edges of his vision. He fought against it. If he passed out, he would be killed. He knew that with horrifying certainty.
You don't want to kill me?
The Primarch shrugged. It was such a human gesture that Elva's perception shifted, and he saw Kurz not as a monster, but as a monstrous man.
Wanting has nothing to do with it. We are puppets of time, you and I. For the moment, you live.
He reached along Wraith's arm towards Elva, prompting another moan of fear. The blackness crowded in closer, tugging at his mind, his subconscious striving to save his conscious mind from terror the only way it knew how, by plunging him into ignorance.
I really wish you wouldn't do that.
I warned you not to be annoying!
Your moaning is annoying. The smell of you is annoying. The dull bovine intelligence gleaming in your eyes is annoying.
Your lack of comprehension is annoying. I am a patient man,
Kurz giggled, and Elva thought it the most abhorrent noise he had ever heard.
Much more annoyance, though,
and I will no longer be.
Kurz's arm was so long and thin it seemed to stretch into forever. Under the crusted gore, it was white as corpse flesh, soaked long in water. Blood had flaked from his hand, clinging on only in the creases, bringing alive a topography of palm lines and scars etched in stolen life. The hand went past Elva's nose, and he smelled the iron tang of murder. But it did not come for him. Kurz depressed a button on the command throne arm that looked much like any other. In his panic, he could not recognize it. It summoned into being a cartilith before Elva's seat, whose dizzy spin mirrored that within his skull. Kurz rolled a tracking ball embedded in the throne arm near to Elva's mutilated hand, slowing the cartilith to a stop.
I wish you to direct this vessel for me. To this place here.
Kurz uncurled a long finger, thin and knobbly as a spider's leg, and pointed at a dot of light in the cartilith. Elva realized his next words would dictate whether he lived a little longer or died in indescribable pain right there and then. At this realization, his brain fought off the comforting dark and spooled up to work with amazing alacrity, taking in the pulsing icon indicating the Sheldrune's crawl through space and calculating the distance between their position and where the creature wished to go faster than any astrogative sum he had ever performed before. Elva swallowed. Speaking without pissing himself at the same time was an immense, unwelcome effort.
It is...
Kurz tilted his head. Elva stopped and started again.
My lord,
he managed, stronger now.
This craft is not warp capable. The place you indicate is 3 light-years from our position.
What is the speed capability of this vessel? Asked the Primarch.
3/4 of light speed is the fastest it has ever gone, my lord,
he said, robotic from long practice. The ship's capabilities were among the first lessons Overton had given him upon arrival, and he was, had been, rightfully proud of its speed.
I'm forced to ask your forgiveness, lord, and allow me some honesty, because I don't know if that was Overton bragging or not. I've never seen the ship attain that velocity.
Kurz bent and wrenched something up from the floor with a crack of breaking ice.
Was this he? This Overton?
Kurz displayed a ruined head.
No, that was Graven,
Elva said.
The helmsman.
Then he added,
I think.
Kurz tossed the head aside. It bounced off a console, bringing forth an angry bleep from the machines, before rolling on the floor with a noise like a wooden ball heading down a knockpin alley.
If he was the helmsman, that means that you can't sail this ship. What a pity for you.
Kurz reached for him.
No, no, I can, my lord, please, he gabbled. I can fly it. I was training as a helmsman, but I learned all the other systems as well. It was a small crew. We had to know everything.
Oh, good,
Kurz relaxed. Elva could not. 4 years to make my destination. The Primarch stroked Elva's thigh with a single ragged nail. Elva was reminded of Overton doing the same thing before hitting him. At the time, it was the worst feeling in the world. Until this.
No, no,
he squealed.
Please, my lord, a ship like this doesn't run with an active drive. You point it and accelerate. Cut the engines when you're at optimal speed. Reverse and put them back on again to slow down when you get close to where you're going. Getting there doesn't take too long. It's the acceleration and deceleration that eat into the time,
he said in one hurried breath. The nightmare cocked his head and folded his arms, eyes blacker than any bird's bored into Elva's face, making him cringe. Black-nailed fingers tapped on his biceps. Despite the impression of emaciation the Primarch gave, his muscles were enormous.
I am aware of how void travel works, little man, said the creature.
He gestured widely.
I was testing you. This is a crude craft. A fool could pilot it. I am seeing if you are fool enough to know how.
You can fly this ship, said Elva.
I am one of the Emperor's sons. I can do anything.
Then you don't need me,
said Elva.
No, said Kurz. I do not. I need nobody and nothing.
Then why spare me, when you have killed every other living being on this vessel?
Elva asked.
Call me sentimental.
Call me merciful, said Kurz distractedly. Elva resolved never ever to call Kurz either of those things.
But it is, as you said, a long journey. I require company. Entertainment, or I shall become bored.
Elva wanted anything else in the universe other than that thing becoming bored.
Will you do as I bid? Kurz continued. Or do you wish to share the fate of your travelling companions here? I'm sure you are not without guilt.
His long black nails uncurled, gesturing at the ruined bodies.
Which sentence is it to be?
There is only one.
I will sail for you, Lord. I will serve you.
Good.
Good.
Exerting minimal effort, Kurz broke Elva's chains from the throne, but left them wrapped around his ankles, wrists, and neck.
Get on with it, then.
Kurz hunched lower, not so much to avoid the human height ceilings, but because it seemed the posture was comfortable to him. He hummed a jarringly jaunty tune as he headed for the door to the main spinal corridor, his hands idly patting at the walls. Elva blinked in disbelief. A slaughterhouse ship was his to command. His head spun. He half expected to wake, sweating in his bunk. He knew he never would. There was no escaping this nightmare. Accepting that calmed him. Somewhere deep inside his heart, a little flame snuffed out. Hope dead, he was numb enough not to care.
My lord,
he asked,
what happened to my hand?
Kurz turned back and gave a grin that froze the blood in Elva's veins.
I became bored,